You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you and prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW, let us surprise you.
If you're the type of person who wants data, not assumptions, Prenuvo's whole body scan gives you a deep understanding of your health. Screen for over 500 conditions, including many cancers, autoimmune disorders, neurodegenerative diseases, and more. Add blood panels to test over 80 biomarkers, and you've got information about your body you may never have had before. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
The Take the North podcast is brought to you by the Roorman Automotive Group, home of the $50 oil change. Visit them online at Roorman.com.
Bears fans, this is Take the North.
What's the reason, Duck? It's here.
With your hosts.
All these guys.
Dan Wiederer and Mark Grody.
We're going to take the North and never give it back.
Hello again, everybody, and welcome back into the Take the North podcast, along with Dan Wiederer of The Athletic, who is stationed at Hallis Hall. I am Mark Grody of 104.3 The Score. Dan, how are you? Looking all smiley out there.
Well, it's funny because I feel like Studs could put together a really good compilation of weird backdrops that we've had for the podcast. And today, for some reason, I'm in the place where you at Hallis Hall usually record the podcast. The Midway is taken by an event. The media room is being monopolized by TV people. And then I look at this backdrop and I feel like I'm floating in outer space. I feel like I'm somewhere near Saturn right now.
It does. It is for people just getting the audio of this, it is a pitch black background for Dan Wiederer.
Well lit, though. Even with the pitch black background, it's very well lit.
Yeah. Yeah. You look great. And I'm sorry that it sounds like you sound a little frustrated with the fellow beat members out there that they have overtaken the place.
No, you have your comfort spots around this building and where you get into your zone to do the podcast. And when you have to leave your comfort zone, you have to make the best of it.
That is true. That is true. I like that you are making the best of it. We appreciate that. There's much, much to talk about from the Bears before we really get cooking on the ongoings of the day, and we've got some great sound from Ben Johnson. Just want to give a quick shout out to Gurney Hyundai and the Roorman Automotive Group, because we had a great edition of Take the North Live. It is the episode previous to the one that you're listening to right now. We did a full 2 hours of the podcast, which was live on The Score. Obviously, the Take the North podcast. We got to hang out with DeAndre Swift, the Bears chief running back. Yeah, that said, Tyson Bagent, the Bears quarterback. Not, he doesn't want to hear about being a backup, but everybody was so nice to us. There was a huge amount of people that were out there. The taco trucks were great. A beautiful night, and just a big thank you to all the great people from the Roorman Automotive Group and a lot of people that we got to meet and hang out with throughout the evening out in Gurney.
But it certainly surpassed my expectations by a good margin. There was just such good energy out there from top to bottom, side to side, and everyone that we interacted with out there. It was kind of a milestone. Like I said on Monday night, it was the first time we ever took the podcast remote somewhere. We've done some Take the North Lives from the studios at The Score, but we took that out someplace and had a great time doing it and a great experience because of the people that hosted us and set us up. I got home. I was a very happy guy on Monday night because it was a lot of fun out there.
Yeah, no, it really was. It was an energy blast. You know, it's funny because I had done a show on The Score already. So sometimes it's like, oh man, I got to do another 2 hours, but the energy and the adrenaline of it, like I was tired when I got home and I'm going to sleep well tonight. Today's the actual recovery day, but because of the energy, the adrenaline pulled us through, and to have gotten to hang out with a couple of Bears players and all the good people out there, it really was cool. And hopefully, and you know, this is a good time for us to show some gratitude for our great audience, because it has just grown and grown and grown. A lot of it is because you love the Bears, but we also are just very thankful for our audience, those listening, those watching, whether you like us or not. We appreciate you guys, and thank you for helping us grow this thing. And hopefully we'll do more of that, where we're doing the Take the North lives. Hopefully we'll be out in the wild, because it was such a great experience. So I'd love to continue doing shows like that,
Dan. Yeah, no question. It's funny, Grody, because we often do the episodes of this podcast in seclusion. You're someplace, I'm some other place, and we assume that people are listening to us. But then when you actually meet the listeners, you're like, oh, you're a real life human being, and I kind of like talking to you. You know, and so it's like it's really good to kind of get to know our audience in these little chunks as we've done over time, and there's some loyalty there. I love that. You know, that's a big deal to us to be able to have these people's attention and to be able to bring them content that they enjoy.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So thank you to everybody. Thank you to Roarman. Thank you to Gurney. Thank you to Great America. Thank you to Gurney Hills Mall. Thank you to everybody out there. It was an absolute
Ben blast. And Jerry's, who gave my family ice cream. Thank you to them.
Oh, yes, yes. I never did. I missed out. The taco truck was rolling off by the time I was leaving the lot, so I never did get a taco. But man, I definitely took in the smells of the night. You had the taco truck and a grilled cheese truck. Yeah. That's deluxe stuff out there, man.
Yeah, and then the very pleasant smell of me 4 feet from you.
All right, let's get into it. Let's get into what is going on. Yeah, that's a perfect spot to
great move on segue. From.
We'll think about Dan's odors and his ball placement right now. If you'd all like to think about that as we speak here right now. But what actually went down at Hallis Hall, and Dan, I was in our downtown studios at the Score while I was seeing the reports of Darnell Wright going down with a potential injury. Could you describe what you saw, what you have heard, what is going on with the Bears' stalwart right tackle?
Yeah, we'll find out. It was during a red zone period on Tuesday afternoon, and Darnell was clearly in some discomfort with his right arm. Now, remember, that's an arm that he had an injury with last year. To his credit, as much discomfort as he was in a year ago, he missed like a game and a half. And so he has shown this ability to come back from injuries. We'll be in wait and see mode until we get an update. Obviously, far from ideal. This is a star on your football team. This is a guy who gives you an anchor on the right side of your offensive line. We know very well that the left side of the line has some instability right now that they're trying to work through. But boy, oh boy, you don't want to be dealing with troubleshooting on both sides of the line at this stage, right? With the regular season closing in fast. And so this is a hold your breath moment, I think, for a little bit here for the Bears until we get some detail. And certainly Darnell is a big part of what they're trying to get done here on offense in 2026.
But yeah, no doubt. Like, it's like, that's the good child. You can't have the good child going bad, because on the other side, it's the same old thing. And that was the vibe from Ben Johnson, as it does pertain to the exhaustive search, the exhaustive competition for the left tackle spot. And, you know, Ben did his best job to grit his teeth up there, but saying something to the effect of, you know, I feel like we talk about this every day, but he did admit it's a, as he put it, a hot spot for the Bears. That today was supposedly an important day. Thursday is going to be an important day, the joint practice, which we'll get into. And then Saturday is going to be a huge day for the Bears. So there's been huge days in the past. Huge days in the past have equaled to nothing in terms of somebody taking a step forward. I'm tired of it too. I'm sure our audience is tired to it to some degree, but it's, for the record, it's in the exact same place for the Bears in terms of the left tackle and who it's going to be. It feels like Braxton Jones and Theo Benedet, I guess, are the top candidates for it at this point, but there's still no consensus winner.
100%. He said, we are not 100% sold on who our left tackle is going to be. Okay. So that's the updated verbiage used out here at Hallis Hall. And I do think it is a little bit fatiguing, exhausting to be in this state. Once again, for your knowledge, the Bears finished practice today after Darnell Wright's exit with Theo Benedet playing right tackle, where he's been working most of training camp. And so if he's in that swing tackle role, he may be needed over there, which would then, you know, give Braxton Jones the opportunity to start at left tackle, assuming he's still in the coach's eyes, you know, a better option than Jedrick Wills and Karana Magaji. And so, you know, that's why I say the right injury adds another little variable to this whole thing. And that's what you could be looking at with what we finished practice with on Tuesday. That could be your line, possibly, perhaps, maybe going to Carolina on September 13th.
Yeah, I mean, it sure feels like the Karan Amagaji and Jedrick Wills, and nobody has officially said it, but it sure feels like those two are out of the competition, at least for left tackle. There's probably room at the end for a swing tackle. It's not 100% that either or both would make the roster. So yeah, many decisions to come. I mean, it feels that way, right, Dan? That we've gone from Karan Amagaji being a third round pick and Jedrick Wills being a flyer. That's what he is with all the injuries. No. He's not costing the Bears a ton. But at this point, it has gone from they're competing for left tackle to they're competing for their Chicago Bears lives on this roster.
No question. And you go through these decisions that the Bears are going to face on Sunday evening, 5 o'clock, that initial 53-man roster is due to the league. And there's not a lot of like high-profile roster decisions here. There's some interesting ones, but this is the one where you're like, okay, who stays and who goes? And more importantly, who starts? You know, and like the fact that they haven't gotten to that point yet, I think it is a little bit maddening to this coaching staff, but you can't also lower the bar. And that's one thing I really appreciate about Ben. If it's not meeting your standard, then you can't just shrug and go, okay, we'll deal with it. It's like, no, we need more. And so, you know, you're going to continue to push for more.
Okay. So you like doing your own oil changes. It's got to be cheaper at home, right? But is it really cheaper than the $50 full synthetic oil change at the Roorman Automotive Group? So to do it at home, you need to buy a case of oil. That's $35 to $60. A new oil filter, that'll run you about $5 to $25. A crush washer, whatever a crush washer is, a drain pan, an oil filter wrench, a socket set. You got to have all the right tools if you want to do it at home. Or you could just take your vehicle to the Roorman Automotive Group and get the $50 full synthetic lube, oil, and filter change on virtually any make or any model vehicle by factory-trained technicians and our state-of-the-art facilities. That's exactly what I did. And that's right, just $50. Offer is good at any of the Roorman Automotive Group stores, 10 locations here in Chicagoland. And for more than 60 years, the Roorman Automotive Group has provided consumers with the highest quality new and pre-driven automotive products combined with excellent customer service and sales. That is the truth. Also, leasing and vehicle maintenance services. Visit Roorman.com or any of their 20 store websites, including 10 stores right here in Chicagoland, to schedule your next service appointment online in real time for up to 7 quarts of full synthetic oil available on virtually every make and model. See our website for exclusions. One other concern, I don't know if it's an injury, but what can you tell us about Jervon Dexter out at Hallis Hall on this Tuesday as we record this?
Yeah, he exited practice, and you know, typically that's usually a physical situation, but Jordan Schultz had a tweet earlier in the day saying that Jervon Dexter has been the subject of trade talks with the Bears. And so you don't just presume it's an injury related exit. If there was something serious cooking, who knows? That's another wait and see. We'll get our irons in the fire, our hooks in the water, and try and figure out what we can bring back in terms of information on that front. But look, like there's a group here. I felt a little validated, Grody, because at The Athletic on Tuesday morning, I had put out a mood check article. And in my surprised category, I said I was surprised by how impressed I've been with the defensive tackle group, in a group that didn't have a ton. And then Ben, at his Tuesday morning presser, said, I think people are going to be surprised by the ability we've got in this defensive tackle group. So, you know, it was nice to hear that the head coach's eyes are seeing some of the same things that I've been seeing throughout camp. And so maybe that does give them an ability to play around with some things, because they do like some of these players that they've brought in here and the depth that they have at that position right now.
Yeah, no, I think he was asked specifically, is there any position group on this team that you see as being underrated? And Ben Johnson, as you said, went right to interior defensive line. He said, quote, better than what people here have out there have given him credit for, close quote. He also was asked about Jordan Vandenberg, I believe, by a friend, Stacey Dales, and he immediately said, "Oh, he's a beast. He's
beast,
a
beast." Yeah.
like Jordan Vandenberg, Dan, that's a Ben Johnson type of guy. Like the motor that he has, still don't know what Jordan Vandenberg is once the lights come on for real. But boy, that's the kind of guy, that's a template dude in Ben Johnson's world.
No question. And the coaching staff is very honest about this kid is still learning how to play football and learning what the NFL game is going to be all about at that position, but you just bake in the passion for the game, the motor, the ability to be coached hard, the willingness to go hard every single day. There's a lot they can work with here. And so I think I mean, we've been talking about it for a few weeks here. They're going to find a way to carve out the optimal role for him. And it may evolve as the season goes along, as he's able to take on more, but they're certainly impressed with what they have to work with.
Yeah, let me just you mentioned the Jordan Schultz report. Let me just give the full tweet, because Jordan Vandenberg may be playing a part in all of this in terms of his development. But the report is, per Jordan Schultz, the Bears have had trade discussions involving defensive tackle Jervon Dexter, and there are multiple scenarios where a deal could get done, sending him to a new team. Dexter, still just 24 years old, started all 17 games last season, has 13 and a half career sacks and 42 QB hits. He is in the final year of his rookie contract. I don't remember, Dan, if there was another official report that came out about this, or if it had just been floated out there in the Bears ether at the beginning of this offseason, but this is not the first time I've heard Jervon Dexter's name come up in terms of a potential trade, and is this a guy that the Bears are going to have around long term.
And you got to figure out if you can dangle it. I actually, just by happenstance asked Ben a question about Dexter.
Yeah, you did.
On Tuesday morning. And he said, look, like there's certain things in there that some of the new stuff that we've taught him with his stance and his technique, when he applies it, it's beautiful. He used the word, it's beautiful when he puts it together. But like with a lot of players on this roster, they're searching for more consistency. They've enjoyed his durability. Ben was quick to highlight that he's been available and given the number of guys throughout camp that have gone down and been injured, Dexter's availability over the time that he's been a Bear has been notable. So we'll see kind of where this all heads. And again, like this is a fascinating time of year, because guys wind up in other places really quickly, and some guy that you were checking off at your roster check on a Tuesday is somehow in another uniform by Thursday of the next week, and so it's one of these fluid times of year where you just got to be ready for anything.
Yeah. And, it's like, and everybody has the same thoughts on Jervon Dexter. It feels like they're talking, like every year there's improvements. They talked about, they challenged him on some technique things. And then it always ends with, this guy's huge, man. He's got the size. And as I would say, he looks the part. So he is still a tantalizing prospect, but it's almost like somewhere along the line, his development was stalled, or he just doesn't get to the place that you think a second round pick should get to. Like that dominance, that explosive play ability just isn't there enough to make you feel like, yeah, that's a guy I want to invest in and give a second contract to.
More disruption is needed, and whether he gets the opportunity to prove that he's capable of that here, we'll see. But, look, like when the assistant coaches were talking a couple weeks ago, there's some heartened feelings about what Dexter's been able to apply with some of the things they've taught him since the spring. And there's hope that he could, increase the disruption. But again, we've talked about this several times before, where it's like it looks like there's a window of opportunity there, and then it just never occurs.
Yeah. Neither you nor I was in Cincinnati last week for the joint practice, nor the game that was played, so we were not there for the post game, where Ben Johnson was asked many questions about the first team offense, and the media that was there not able to get answers out of Ben. It was a lot of, I'm going to watch the tape, gotta watch the tape, can't give you answers. So Dan, I ask you to tell us, were you able to get answers out of Ben Johnson on questions like the seam shot to Colston Loveland, the famous play that maybe we've talked about too much.
Yeah,
that was missed. Were there answers? Can you take us through some of that, perhaps?
I can, and I will. And it also, we furthered that discussion on the live show on Monday night with Tyson Bagent coming up on stage and giving us a little bit of his perspective. But just to let our audience know the background here, obviously the first drive on Saturday night, Caleb on a 1st-and-20 situation after a Braxton Jones hold, sees a coverage bust. He takes a seam shot to Colston Loveland for a possible touchdown. The ball isn't precise. Colston can't adjust his body quite well enough to get to it. It glances off his left glove and hits the grass. Now it's 2nd-and-20. Ben, none too pleased with the decision after the game. Caleb offers his own sort of spin on it after the game and just saying what he saw and why he took the shot. And so you're trying to figure out this tug of war between coach and quarterback and who's right and who's wrong and where it is. Well, we asked Tyson about the conversation in the quarterback's room on Monday. We're going to replay this for our audience because I thought Tyson had a notable answer. Here it is.
A beautifully designed Squarespace website is the difference between thinking about photography school and selling your portraits online. It's the difference between giving away those cookies you just made for free and running your cookie empire. A beautifully designed Squarespace website is the difference between having a movie reviewing hobby and a movie reviewing career. Squarespace, because no matter what you're into, a website makes it real. Use offer code THEDIFFERENCE for 30% off every plan. Terms and conditions apply.
Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snaps, it is the refreshing!
I think the good thing with Ben and how he installs all of his plays and schemes and everything is, it's black and white. So, one high go here, two high go here. So it's all based off of that. Really no gray area from what I saw. But a great, great learning experience and something to get better on, better now than, a couple weeks from now. So he'll bank that rep and we'll get better moving forward.
Black and white, no gray, Caleb.
Great learning experience. And so then we had a chance on Tuesday morning to get Ben to kind of elaborate on what he and Caleb talked about when they finally got to watch it together. Here's that exchange because there's a little bit more meat on this bone too.
Seam shot to Colston from Saturday night. When you and Caleb got together and watched through that, what was the discussion that you guys had in terms of what he saw and what you wanted?
Yeah, no, I think it boils down to whenever it becomes 3rd-and-20, you look back and you say, how could we have not been in that situation? So that's 1st-and-20 right there. When he takes alerts, we call some of our receivers on routes alerts. Colston was an alert on that play. He's right if he hits it. If he doesn't, then there's other places we could go with the football. He understands that thought process, and he's just like me. We don't want to be caught in those 3rd-and-20 situations, and so 1st-and-20, we might just take the aggressiveness level down a notch and make sure we keep getting back on track.
Grody, that was interesting and informative to me because after talking to Tyson, I felt like, okay, this was a coverage-based judgment by the head coach. It sounded more today that it was situational, that the down and distance was a big part of why he was upset with that. Being in first and 20, you just want to get some of that penalty yardage back, keep the entire playbook sort of available to you, and you take a risk. And when you miss the risk, the consequences are second and 20. And then when you miss on second and 20, it's third and 20. And as Ben sort of alluded to there, third and 20 isn't a place that makes him very comfortable, right? Like, even as good as he is as an offensive visionary, yeah, he doesn't want to be in third and 20. And so I don't know what you made of that, but I thought that was some good detail from the coach about just kind of the very last phrase about maybe we dial down the aggressiveness level based on the situation there down in
Yeah. Yeah, I love the way he put it. How could we have not been in that situation? How could we have built this drive just a little bit better? And it comes down to what we keep talking about, what we were talking about on the score today. And that is the not wanting to take away Caleb's big play ability and his desire to throw down the field. It's just knowing the time and the place. And I even said this last year, it's not something that I expect to be perfect. Maybe never is going to be perfect with somebody like Caleb Williams, even with somebody like Ben Johnson, who has this difficult task, this fine line of wanting him to do the simple stuff and maybe not always taking the risk, but wanting him to make the big risks and the big throws so they can blow teams out and be explosive and all of that. So while it's still a development piece for Caleb Williams, I also think it's just something that's in his nature. And I hate to use this as a comp, but think about somebody like Brett Favre. Not Aaron Rodgers, but Brett Favre. Brett Favre would take those massive chances. Now, it didn't always work out for him. And if there was something that people were critical about Brett Favre in his career, especially towards the end, was that, like, sometimes those are stupid plays. Those are boneheaded plays that'll get you in trouble and get you yelled at. So it's a fine line, and I don't know when and where, like, what the conclusion is and where that stops in Caleb Williams's career, but I just think that this is something that we're going to be dealing with probably less and less, but it's always going to be part of his game, is my guess.
Different sport, so a little bit of apples to oranges here, but the first thing that came to my mind was Javi Baez on the base pass, Javi Baez at the plate.
Yeah.
Right? Like, there's going to be some spectacular stuff that happens, and then some stuff where you're like, oh, that probably wasn't the best idea right there, you know?
Yes.
So, you know, you live with all of it. Football is football. Life is life. Like, Caleb is never going to see every single play the exact way that Ben wants him to see it in real time, right? Like, they may agree when they get back in the video room and are watching it. Okay, I see what you're saying there. But in real time, he may not see it through that exact lens at all times. And Ben's not always going to agree with Caleb's decisions. What I love about the relationship is, even though there is some of this push and pull, tug of war, whatever you want to call it, they're in a healthy spot with this. And it doesn't feel like it has any friction attached or any sort of like, well, screw you. You know, like, I saw what I saw and I made that throw. Like, did they get themselves to a good talking point pretty much every single time that they have one of these discussions? That's going to be part of the process.
Yeah, and I think that the key word here is with Caleb Williams, with Javier Baez, with Brett Favre, maybe even Pete Crow Armstrong sometimes, there's an opportunity cost to their greatness because they are so gifted that they think they can get away with everything. And Dan, sometimes they can.
Right.
So some of that stuff is out of the reach of a coach or a manager that can't relate to what the athlete is going through, because they can pull some of this stuff off.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about it. And so I find this fascinating, because this is not going to be the last example in 2026 of a play where it's like, well, should he have thrown it or should he have not? Should he have gone 100%. Here or should he have not? There's going to be a lot of, it's going to define the Bears season on where they find this healthy middle ground on some of that. But I will also say this, because I do think this is important context. You know, Ben was also asked on Tuesday morning for a little bit of a progress report on Caleb through camp. And I felt like these sentiments were very important for people to hear as well.
I've been pretty consistent that I'm happy with where he's at right now. I love the approach that he takes coming into work every day. I love his demeanor on the field right now. There's a level of professionalism that I think radiates from him. Everything he's doing from warming up all the way until the end of practice, like, there's a mission in mind. And so I appreciate that about him. We're going to continue to focus in on some situational work, 2 minute in particular, end of half, end of game. You know, it's been a little bit mixed bag over the last few weeks in terms of the success of the first unit in those situations. And so that'll be a big one for us. And then there's some coverage recognition things that we talked about yesterday that I'm challenging them on, but we'll keep those in-house.
I love that.
Yeah, it's good stuff. And I think it is important, you know, and again, this is leadership 101. In order to be really hard on somebody that you're leading, you also have to love them up and let them know when they're doing things that you really, really enjoy. And so Ben kind of highlighting the approach, the demeanor, and the professionalism, it's all very good things for Caleb to hear. I'll add something here because Ben talked about Caleb's demeanor in the way of like he's just business and he's getting down to work here. In contrast to 2025, there have been moments during this camp where you can feel this like competitive excitement in Caleb. I can remember one in the south end of field one. He had a end of game situation period, and he hit Luther Burden back when Luther was still healthy for a touchdown. And Caleb, you know, pumped his fist and got juiced up like he had just won a playoff game. And there was another one to Khalif Raymond on field four, like the next week. And that was stuff that when Caleb felt like he was drowning, you didn't feel the exuberance, right? That very organic exuberance that he plays with come out. And now you're seeing it really a couple times a day and certainly several times every week where you're like, man, that dude looks like he's having a great time, you know? And so that's important as you're learning as well, as to be enjoying the process as opposed to thrashing in the water and being like, is there a lifeguard around here? Can somebody come and get me?
Yeah, you know, and you're right to say too that it's so different from last year. To hear him say that to hear Ben Johnson say that Caleb Williams's level of professionalism that radiates. And I thought you did in particular such a great job of putting that out there last year, that it wasn't like a shot at his character, at Caleb Williams's character. I'm paraphrasing you right now, Dan Weider, but you always said he's got to learn how to be a professional quarterback at the NFL level. Again, nothing against him personally, but he just wasn't there. And to hear this coach saying that the level of professionalism is radiating, that's everything, man.
Well, it's an absolute indicator of a dude who's receptive about what he's being told and taught, and a dude who understands the responsibilities of this position. I think that was probably a little bit more in question after Caleb's rookie season, and maybe it shouldn't have been, because I think from a very young age, when he set these grand goals of becoming one of the best to ever do this at this position, he's kind of understood the demands of it, you know, and now it's, sometimes you go through it and you go, oh, okay, that's what they were talking about. And then you start to apply things to your routine, your habits, the way you lead. And so that's good to see.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And yeah, and we know, look, Ben Johnson talked about coverage recognition. That was something when we would ask him questions about what's the next level for Caleb Williams that you want to see in his development or his ascension as a quarterback. Coverage recognition is something that he has repeated, but it was good to hear that again. Of course, the 2 minute stuff at the end of half, that's something, again, that's another repeat of something that he has talked about, and his desire for the Bears in general to be better at the end of the second quarter, end of the game. Caleb Williams was pretty good at that, but that's been something that they've been working on here and struggling with to some degree so far.
Yeah, and every day is an opportunity to get a little bit better at that. And this is a weird part of camp, you know. I mean, we've got you know, the trip to Tennessee this week for the joint and the joint practice, I should say, and the preseason game, and then next week is that weird sort of week zero bridge week. And like, as a team, you got to stay locked in, because it does get to this stage where you're like, let's just get the regular season here. I'm a little bit kind of exhausted by the routine of camp. And so there's just a focus level that's needed. More on that in a second. But as you know, like, it just, you have to find ways to finish strong through the finish line of the preseason.
Yeah, let's. One thing I want to go over too is we heard Ben Johnson say that there are still two big categories where there are jobs to be won. We talked about left tackle, and I'm sure we'll do that on the next podcast too. There's a safety competition going on. We know that Dylan Thienemann is going to be the Bears' strong safety, but Ben Johnson said they have not found their guy as of yet, whether it's, I assume it's down to Cam Lewis and Xavier Woods. And yeah. Can Elijah Hicks, because Elijah Hicks, I should tell people, they activated from the PUP list. He had been dealing with a shin injury. I don't know if he enters into this competition. I mean, he's been there as a spot starter at times, but it sure feels like Cam Lewis and X Woods.
No question. I think those are your two guys for the week one job. Hicks has missed a lot of time, so there's going to be a long period of time before he's ready to get rolling here. Yeah. They've got to make some decisions. I think that Cam Lewis has shown some things. I think Xavier Woods has got this experience and a little bit of an ability to understand what's being taught by Dennis Allen. And so there's a big moment on Thursday, and then we'll see how much those guys play on Saturday against the Titans as they try to sort this out.
Yep. And I know Cam Lewis was out there with the starters a lot on Tuesday, but we shall see how that situation plays itself out. Of course, all of this because of the Kobe Bryant injury, out 4 to 6 months. Hadn't said his name in a little while. Also, for whatever it's worth, too, Keyshawn Elliott, the rookie linebacker, he has been activated as well. I know that from the start, it never appeared that he was going to be a threat to be playing much linebacker, but probably a guy who could play multiple phases on special teams as well. So good to have that guy out there as well. What else, Dan? What else do we need to know from the day at Halas Hall on Tuesday?
I have two last things for you. They're both fun.
Yes.
The first one is, remember back in the spring when we started the list, and our list was sort of the penalty box for people in our profession, in the media, that had made errors that got them into trouble. I believe that Mark Carman was a founding member of the list because he dropped a coffee mug from the balcony of the Walter Payton Center and almost killed some people.
He did.
I believe Jay Cohen made the list early because his phone was ringing at the dais when Ben Johnson was talking, and Ben was not too thrilled with that. And then there was a policy called the Jay Cohen rule that was put in that nobody can put phones at the podium anymore. I think Chris Emma violated the last question ordinance. And asked the last question. I think he made the list. Well, we might have a new candidate. I might need to get your verdict on this for the list. The Bears implemented, or they released today, their Nike Rivalries uniform.
It
was a big deal. I saw it when I was walking from my car to Halas Hall on Tuesday morning. It looks like a University of Illinois uniform. We got orange pants. We got a navy jersey. We got orange numbers, orange helmet. It made me feel like I was in college again. But here's the candidate for the list. I'll let you listen to it with your own ears late in the press conference with Ben Johnson. Before we play it, do you have any guesses on who might have asked the head coach about the uniform?
It's got to be Finley.
Let's see.
Super important football question. What do you think of the uniforms?
What uniforms? I haven't even seen them. Yeah.
Orange pants?
I haven't even seen them. Yeah.
You know, recommendations can be great. Maybe someone recommended this podcast, and here you are. But home projects are different. If a podcast isn't your thing, you lose a few minutes. If you hire your cousin's neighbor to mount your TV, you might end up with a lopsided screen and wall damage. Maybe "I know a guy" just isn't enough for your home. That's why Thumbtack works. It matches you with top-rated local pros with photos, reviews, and credentials all in one place. For your next home project, try Thumbtack. Hire the right pro today.
Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple. absolutely refreshing!
People say, I got you, all the time. Dads say it to their kids the first time they ride a bike. Friends say it to other friends when they buy them lunch. It's a good thing when someone's got you. It's especially good when someone's got you with important things like your health. And that's where WeShare's got you. We got you with a massive nationwide network of over 1 million doctors, which means you can likely keep your current doctor you know and trust. We got you with affordable prices that can save individuals up to $5,000 annually compared to traditional insurance, and save families even more. And we've got you with over 68,000 CVS Caremark pharmacies across the country. If you're tired of overpriced health insurance bills, come visit us at WeShareHealth.org or call 1-888-WeShare. Other smart Americans are making the switch every day. In a world filled with companies that cost you, it's nice to have one that's got you. WeShareHealth. We got you.
Classic. Classic all around. Pat, the one asking the question, because he's the uniform guy in the media room. I'm kind of a uniform enthusiast myself, so I appreciate that about Pat. But of course, Ben didn't know. Was there a Hallmark special question after that?
There was not. Would you, Mark Grody, put Pat Finley on the list for the lack of situational awareness of trying to need a forced quote for his Sun-Times notebook or whatever it is from a guy who certainly wasn't going to give him anything compelling?
I'm a little torn on this one. Like I said, I don't know if I would have asked the question, but I'm not going to do it because I admit I enjoy the uniform banter. I like the different manifestations. And I'll say this about that. You're right. I thought when I saw the uniform, it looked Illinois. I'm okay with it, actually, because I thought I was going to hate it. I do not like the orange uniforms, like when they wear the all orange jersey. This one had a decent amount of it, but just enough navy in it to keep me pleased. So for now, I'm going to keep Finley off the list. You obviously have him on the list.
That was a wrist slap by you. Here was my question to you. Knowing Ben Johnson the way you know him, what is the best possible answer that you are hoping for when you throw that up there to the podium? Oh man, orange pants are my favorite thing in the world. I used to have an orange pair of pants that I wore to, you know, senior prom. The orange pants. So I was giving Pat crap on the way out of the press conference, you know, because the I'm sure that he needed to quote Ben in the story. And
sure,
orange pants, said Johnson.
No, he answered it exactly the way I thought he would answer.
Yeah, no idea what you're talking about. Uniforms,
exactly,
whatever.
Exactly. Right. He is on a need-to-know basis, is Ben Johnson, when it comes to things like that. That's great. That's fantastic. Was there another thing that you had, too?
There is, and it's about another Johnson. And this one, I think, will grab your attention a little bit. There was a point in practice on Tuesday afternoon. They were down near the red zone, starting a team period. The whole offense and defense came together for like a short 45-second conversation there. And after practice, we said, you know, hey, it looked like Ben called the whole team there together to deliver some sort of message. And Cole Kmet corrected us and said, no, that was Jalen Johnson. And Jalen Johnson brought the whole team together, essentially conveying through his eyes, this practice hasn't been good enough so far. So can we all collectively agree to pick it up here and finish a little stronger than we've started this thing? This has not been to our standards. And so I thought that was a cool little little anecdote from Jalen taking some ownership of it. And Cam Lewis even later in the day said, look, like, you know, you don't have to have a C on your chest to speak up when you see something that you don't like. And so this belief, Cam Lewis from a winning culture in Buffalo, that there's an opportunity for a team like this to be player led. And it doesn't always require the coaches to breathe down your neck and tell you to pick it up. If somebody can take that ownership and lend their voice to it, I thought that was a cool moment for Jalen, who's obviously got that competitive fire and just for him to assert himself there, I thought was neat.
Yeah, no, that's great, man. It kind of has feels of like Kevin Byard back in the day or Mercedes Lewis, guys that would hold the team accountable. That's what it's all about. I love it. I love the seriousness. It was nice to see like Jalen Johnson on the sidelines. He had the earpiece in. You know, sometimes you get rejuvenated as a veteran player, even a guy who's essentially a made man in the NFL, right? Jalen Johnson's a made man. He got his contract. He is an all-pro, Pro Bowl. At one point in time, was on the lists for top 10 cornerbacks. it's like there's this revival, and he's only 27 years old. So I love to see it, and hopefully he is the Jalen Johnson we knew on the field. It looks like he's heading back towards that. I don't know if he's 100% there, but he looks like he's getting closer.
You know, it's crazy because we've talked about injuries almost every episode that we've done since training camp began. And the two, again, find the wood. Do you know what kind of wood this is I'm knocking on? Pine?
Is
this ash? Is this...
I think that's a wall McNutt. It's a McNutt is what it is.
I'm knocking on this because Jalen Johnson and Rome Odunze have been very healthy in this camp, and they've looked very, very good physically. And so those are very good signs for a team that's been beat up in a lot of other places. But those two guys are impact guys that were brought here to be playmakers.
All right. Last question that I have for you now. Last thing, because oftentimes before the recording of a podcast, one of us is reciting a lyric or singing a song. I happen to be singing, and you were as well, Gotta Have Faith, which is a song that originally was recorded by, I think, George Michael, but later recorded by Limp Bizkit. So what is your favorite version of Gotta Have Faith? Are you a George Michael Wham guy, or are you a Limp Bizkit guy? No wrong answer.
Man, that's a loaded question right there, man. It's like, that's a hard thing, like, to be put someone on the spot and say, yeah, I'm a George Michael Wham guy, right? Like,
you want to be typecast as that?
But I think the original is the way to go. I like the question. It's a fair question. I think the original is the way to go. You know, maybe it's just takes me back to, you know, fourth grade and some crushes that I might have had, back to elementary school. Maybe that's the nostalgia piece kicking in, but I would go with the original on that one.
Okay. And I'll go Limp Bizkit. I've told you that Limp Bizkit is a guilty pleasure. I don't know why I always put the word guilty behind. A lot of people like Limp Bizkit, and they're kind of having a revival as well. So I am going strongly with the Limp Bizkit version. You're the George Michael Wham fan. I knew it.
Did you ever listen to the Limp Bizkit exhibit collaboration that I recommended?
Yes, I did. Yeah. You sent it to me.
I mean, that's that. Now that hits.
That was sick. Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to go break some stuff now. So
yeah, perfect. Yeah, me too.
So let's get the hell out of here. For that guy, Dan Weider of The Athletic and frequent Score contributor, for our executive producer, Adam Studzinski, I am Mark Grody of 104.3 The Score, the Raheny and Grody Show, saying thank you so much for watching and listening to the Mighty Take the North podcast. You got to have faith, Dan.
Great talk. See you out there.
Thank you, everybody. The Bears.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
People say, I got you, all the time. Dads say it to their kids the first time they ride a bike. Friends say it to other friends when they buy them lunch. It's a good thing when someone's got you. It's especially good when someone's got you with important things like your health. And that's where WeShare's got you. We got you with a massive nationwide network of over 1 million doctors, which means you can likely keep your current doctor you know and trust. We got you with affordable prices that can save individuals up to $5,000 annually compared to traditional insurance, and save families even more. And we've got you with over 68,000 CVS Caremark pharmacies across the country. If you're tired of overpriced health insurance bills, come visit us at WeShareHealth.org or call 1-888-WeShare. Other smart Americans are making the switch every day. In a world filled with companies that cost you, it's nice to have one that's got you. WeShare Health. We got you.
What if the thing you're listening to right now never got interrupted? What if it could play uninterrupted from room to room on Sonos? What if you start with two Sonos speakers just to see how it feels? What if you really like how it feels and you become a Sonos person who can't stop saying to their friends, "What if you start with two Sonos speakers just to see how it feels?" Because it's not magic, but it's not not magic.